meeting. And we'll have online roll call. Dan?
Here.
Pat?
Here.
Beth is here. Lisa?
Yes.
And Buzz?
Here.
Okay, we're waiting for Cody. And our public in attendance is Grace, Consuelo, Buck?
Yep.
Michael, Patty, and Stan. Okay, consent agenda. I don't believe we have anything on the consent agenda for this month. And that would move us to reports and announcements. And our super is not here. Buzz, can you fill in on any of that, or do you want us to wait for Cody? Or come back to it.
What? On what?
The superintendent's report? Any information?
Yeah, in general, Dan probably knows more about it than I, but the springs held pretty well through the month, tapering off fairly slow. Dan, why don't you talk about that?
The springs held up pretty well. There's a little ambiguity because we changed our measuring technique a little bit in how long we had the valve shut off to make sure we got the full overflow from spring two. But basically, it's impressive how well the spring number one, which remember got vacuumed out this last winter, how well that's held up, even compared to spring number two. The work done on it appears to have made a significant difference. And although we're not watching quite so slowly now, or quite as frequently now, every time we check, the daily consumption through the month has trended down. And we've always been the spring flow has always been at least twice what we're needing to send to town. So we haven't had any reason to think about switching on the pump at spring number three and adding that input. And the overflow from that, just watching it flow out, has been pretty good too. So it looks like we're in good shape as far as our spring supply this year.
Good.
What about the coliform, Dan?
Oh, the coliform test. Yes, thank you. our official coliform test, which was taken in town, was negative this month. That's the state recorded one. As you guys probably know, we've been doing some in-house coliform testing. And after we did those treatments with the sodium hypochlorite, otherwise known as bleach, of the springs. The springs have remained negative now for, almost a month without any further treatment, which is good news. Buzz and I talked about it. We think we should probably, just to be keeping an eye on it, we should later this week do another test, but didn't want to do a test during the wet, blowy weather. Jim says that's, it's a risk of contaminating the sample during that, but it looks like we're going to get some decent weather the next few days. So we'll sample the springs again just to make sure they're staying clean. And also later this week, when the weather allows, Buck and I have agreed that we're going to do a spring flow as well. It's been a couple weeks since we've done one of those.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
I forgot about that. I asked Cody if he was going to test tomorrow, and he said, yeah. Have you looked at the weather? You know what it's going to do tomorrow?
It's supposed to be better than today. It's supposed to less precipitation, less wind.
Maybe if he shows, or when he shows up tonight, we can postpone to next week. We might get better in the next. We'll check the weather.
Yeah, I, for one, don't know how much leeway the state gives us.
I think we've tested, I remember once we, June or July, June, I think, we tested on the 17th. So that wouldn't be too far. I think I heard you can do it any time during the month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the trick is not to get too late, because if you bust a sample, then you've got to run the five in the same month. I think that's the way it's called.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anything else I forgot to say, Buzz?
Say again?
Anything that I've, and any other information I've forgotten to share?
I don't know how you set, we can later on, if you want to talk about the level two meeting we had.
But oh, that's on the agenda.
That's later in the agenda.
Yeah,
we can segue into that.
Okay.
Thanks. So I sent all the board, we'll go into the office report. I sent you all the details. Our treasury savings account is at $67,311.48. Our Columbia checking account, $32,171.15. And our community center account, $366.79. These are all the balances as of 9/30. We had a total of deposits for September that was a total of $11,401.50. Had quite a few late people that were running a little bit behind started catching up. We still do have quite a few late accounts, but our delinquent accounts are $910. That is mostly in two accounts. But we have quite a considerable amount that was past due just 1 month, and that was over $2,500. And so far in October, we've received $1,635 in customer payments. And I don't know how many of those are from the 1 month. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet. And I sent you all a list of the bills that are ready to be approved and paid. Did you all get a chance to look that over? Maybe. Where are the October bills? Any questions about anything in there? And then we sent out a profit and loss budget versus actual report.
Now, that's been posted to the website as an attachment to this meeting.
Right.
I guess when I looked at it, I only had one question. I didn't recognize Pacific Digital.
It's printing.
Oh, okay.
It was a.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know what it was from, but yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So, I would entertain a motion to approve the bills for the month.
I move we approve the bills for this month.
Second.
Okay, Buzz, that was your seconding.
Before we approve those, there's an outstanding reimbursement due to me that's not on this list. And I think it just $97 or something. I would appreciate it if I could get that payment.
We will look for that tomorrow. How much was it, Pat?
I believe it's 97. I'll send
you 97 something. Okay.
Yes. I will send you another copy of it.
Well, it might have just gotten lost in all the other stuff that's there. I'll take a look at it. We'll be in there tomorrow morning.
So,
okay, would that be an
amendment? Shall I amend my motion to include that payment?
Yes, would you?
I so do.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Lisa's an aye. Pat's an aye.
Aye.
Buzz is an aye. Were you an aye, Pat?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just, remember, it's hard on when you're listening to the recording to see the hands.
Well, I guess somebody else and I spoke at the same time.
Probably. Okay. That's five ayes, so motion carries. Okay, next on the agenda is announcement board member role change. Dan, you want to take that?
After a lot of hard work and diligence, Pat has expressed a desire to step down as treasurer. And given what everyone else is doing, I think that pretty much leaves me to learn that role. I'm expecting and have been promised help in doing so. But I believe for me to do that will take a formal motion by the board, is that correct?
That would be proper since, yeah, we didn't elect the position. And so that would leave the secretary position to be done by who? Pat, are you interested in taking that one on?
Under consideration.
Okay, is there anybody else that would consider taking that on? Because we do need someone to fill that role. No takers.
Shall we just leave that in limbo for a month? Give people time?
Well, I think we have to.
Yeah.
I think we'll have to. So, would Lisa or Buzz like to make a motion to appoint Dan approve the role switch, approve Dan as treasurer?
I'll motion. Approve Dan as treasurer.
Thank you, Buzz. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, any more discussion?
Well, I just want to thank Pat for the incredible amount of work she's done and the incredible results we've gotten during her time as treasurer. Besides all the work that Pat's done from month to month and reorganizing the office. And one thing that really stands out in my mind is I really felt like this year was the first year that we had a truly open, organized, and proper budget committee process. I don't remember us ever having that before. And now Pat has set the bar. So I think we'll be proper, and legal from now on.
Yeah. Great, thanks. Any other discussion? Not all those in favor?
Aye.
Lisa's an aye.
Aye.
Pat's an aye, Dan's an aye, and Buzz, your aye. Okay, and I'm aye, so that's five ayes, so motion carries. Okay, special order of business. Work agreement with Jim Osborne. Buzz, I understand you might have brought this up.
I brought that up to Dan. I talked to Jim the other day. He finished a big job recently for his boss, and they were going to start three other jobs in one of the local communities, forget which one, but he said the community, that particular community was almost totally destroyed in fires. And so their jobs went up in smoke. He said his company's looking for work. And we talked for about 5 minutes. During that time, he kept saying, if you guys need any help, I'm always, I can come up on a weekend and do work for you. the last few days, I'd been looking at a meter job. And it just got me to thinking, and besides a meter, we still don't know about the viability of Spring 3. And he's always offered to help us to resurrect Spring 3. Point being, he's still available. When he left, he verbally told us what conditions he would come back up, which sounded reasonable. Those conditions were like pay him for his travel time, round trip, and I think per diem was $300 for every trip, and then his normal $30 an hour when he was here working if we had a specific job for him. So the question is, is that agreement? Well, that's the question.
Would you repeat the question that got cut off in the middle?
Say that again.
I could not hear the entire question that you just posed because there was a break in the sound.
Yeah, there was some interference. I couldn't hear.
Okay. Well, the verbal agreement was that he would come up and work for us. His travel time to and from and per diem, use of his truck would be $300 per trip, per round trip. And then when he got here, the time he spent actually working on something for us would be charged at the rate of $30 an hour. My question to Dan, or I was wondering if there was that was a verbal agreement made over 2-3 months ago. And my question was, is that still viable? Are we able to go forward with that?
So we did not write this down?
No.
I have a copy that was sent out. It's not signed, but it was sent out in an email of an agreement that I don't know if the actual agreement got signed, but I found it. It was but it was a little different. It said $200 per diem mobilization fee for each date he would be in the district. And then it was $30 an hour for any maintenance work or meter installation.
$3,200 for each day or each trip?
Well, I think we were talking of him coming up maybe 1 week and then maybe another week. So it wasn't, I don't think, an agreement where he was expected to be up multiple days in a row.
Well, it wouldn't be worth his time if it was more than, if it was just a day. It takes him a day and at least a half a day to get here and back.
Well, unless he's staying up here, maybe.
The number I do remember when he said it was the $300. I don't know who wrote the email, and I don't, but that's what I remember.
So 300.
The email that Beth is referring to, the proposal in that email was from the meeting that I believe it was June 28th. We had talking about him coming back and possibly doing some work with Cody. But it was never finalized.
Do you remember, Pat, what we did pay him? Was it?
Well, the old agreement was $300 per diem and the $30 an hour. But the $200 was what he agreed to verbally at that meeting.
Okay, so it did get increased to $300 for mobilization.
No, it got reduced.
Oh, it got reduced from the $300 to the $200?
Yes.
I don't remember that, Pat. I never heard $200.
Okay, so
it doesn't matter. It's never been signed or agreed to by the board.
Okay, it wasn't. Well, but we did agree to pay him, and we did pay him.
For what?
We never implemented it, to my knowledge.
No.
Well, this is for him coming up in training, and you're saying he didn't ever come up in July?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, that one time in July was when we paid him to do that?
My recollection is that he did not come back at all in July.
Okay.
Yeah, I think his last day was June 26th.
Okay, I thought he came up one more time trained with Cody, but maybe that was before July.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
June 26th.
But you've talked to him recently about coming up?
He said, no, not exactly. He just kept saying it over and over again, and his company was looking for work. And I've been thinking of some possible meter work has come up. an individual on 4th Street, we need to turn his water off. And according to Jim, that particular connection was improperly installed, and if we turn it off, we might generate a leak. So we talked about putting in a meter at that location. And Cody and I talked, thinking it's more cost effective to put in multiple meters in one day, especially if they're all next door to one another. So we were thinking at least maybe 3 meters on 4th Street. And that's what I never said anything about that to Jim, but I was just, that got me wondering about the agreement, and that's why I mentioned it to Dan.
And why it's on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Buzz, what are you envisioning that we would have him come up for?
Possibly, Cody and his dad are perfectly able to put in meters, I think. Mm-hmm. But for sure if was spring three, but we don't need spring three right now. We don't need it. We won't be needing it. I just didn't have anything for sure in mind, but when he mentioned he was looking for work, I wondered if we still had or if we ever did have an agreement in place with him, and would it be okay to maybe set one up in case we did need him to come up. And oh, by the way, now is a good time if he's looking for work, but I'm not sure we have anything for him. Does any of that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that does. I guess I'd feel more comfortable if there was like a certain thing that we knew we needed him for.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't come up here just to. It's just nice to know that we have the flexibility.
Right. Right.
I don't think there's any reason why, if something did come up, that we couldn't make him an offer at that time.
Yeah.
Sounds like Beth found a template for it. So.
Yeah, well, I think probably Pat put this together. But yeah.
I wrote it up in case we were going to use it and we never
right.
used
it.
Okay.
So yeah, we do have somewhat of a template, so it'd be easy to do.
So is the answer, it's there if we need it?
I believe so.
We need it?
Is what?
Is it $200 or is it going to be $300 a day for travel?
Well, it might depend on the situation. And it would depend on what we wanted to offer him maybe and what he would accept, but.
I think he said what he said, and we could ask him again what he said. He's making quite a bit of money just on a 5-day week, where he was before that part of the state caught fire. And I expect he'll get back up to speed eventually. My point is, he really doesn't need to come up here make extra money. So if we tried to bargain with him, he said 300. And we at the time, I thought it was reasonable. I thought Pat did too. And I don't know where the 200 came from.
Okay. Well, I'm open to it if it's a real need that we would have. He certainly does have the expertise.
Is there some reason that Cody wouldn't be able to do the meter on 4th Street that needs to be done?
I don't think so. I mean, yes. No, there's no reason. I think he and his dad, it's not rocket science putting in a meter. No, short answer is no, there's no reason why he couldn't do it.
And they do that kind of work, so.
Right. Okay. Should we move on?
Personally, I would like to see us wait until a need should arise and talk to Jim about it at that point.
Yeah. Sounds
like I think the conclusion.
Yeah. It sounds like that's where we're leaving it at this point.
Right.
We're amenable if the need arises.
Right. Thanks for summarizing that, Pat.
Thanks.
Okay, let's talk about the Item number two on our special order of business, request for community center use.
Who would like a community member to talk about that, or would the board be setting up the policy?
Oh, well, we would definitely be setting up the policy. Dan, I think you've had the most, done the most work on this.
I guess I got tasked with researching this. We have a request from community members, a small group. Now that it's getting much harder to meet outdoors, and now that the county is officially in phase two of reopening, which, you know, has several different ramifications, as Lisa pointed out. There's been a request for a small group of people to use the public area of the community center. And I'll have, you know, one thing I wasn't clear on when I talked with you, Grace, was how often would you envision the gathering to be?
I would say no more than 2 days. You mean how long duration?
No, how many times a month?
How many? Oh, how many times a month?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think once or twice a week would be the maximum.
Twice a week, okay. I
mean, it could be less, but that I'm just saying that would be.
Okay. I talked to Helen Larish, who was, in addition to her environmental health duties, you know, we know her from the Springs issue, was also helping field the COVID reopening calls for the county health department. And she advised that the applicable guidelines for this situation would be the, and I've got to make sure I get the terminology right, the social get-together criteria. They're lumped together with social, with gatherings in the same guidance, which I sent out to the board and is also attached to, it's in the documents for this meeting on the website. But basically, there are warnings that there's risk involved with any gathering, and then there are guidelines for use, and they are the responsibility of the person who or people who organize the get together. And they basically allow up to 10 people, assuming that there's enough space. And they're actually, we have the allowed amount of space in that room for 10 people. There's also the means in that space to open up the windows and the doors to allow better ventilation in the room. And at this point, I will have to say that I personally would not volunteer to go to an indoor gathering out of an abundance of caution, but that's my personal judgment for myself. And I don't feel like I'm in a position to tell other grown-ups what to do if they're within the guidelines. But yeah, the guidelines are there. I also talked to one of the risk assessment people at SDAO, and he said this is coming up a lot now with the reopenings. There are a lot of districts that have facilities, including, you know, some districts are recreation districts, you know, there's rec centers, all kinds of things. And basically, SDAO has come up with a template for, they're calling it a liability addendum, because it would be an addendum if a business was contracting to use the space, but I could also call an agreement, which basically It's basically a liability waiver for any consequences of infectious disease that occurs from someone deciding to use the facility. And that's, I've sent that out to the both their template and a what one customized to our situation could look like. You know, the community center is, if you read our documents, all the property of the district is the property of the residents of the district. And I guess the question here is, to what extent do we have liability if we allow it to be used within the guidelines? And then the other question is, to what extent are we liable if we are more restrictive than the state guidelines that apply? And I'm now ready to let somebody else talk.
Anybody else have an opinion?
Well, in my mind, like, for example, I was thinking that, you know, as long as it could even be restricted to water customers, you know, we wouldn't be say, oh, there's going to be one local person and nine unknown people that just flew in from Guatemala or, you know, something, China, whatever, anywhere. I feel like the people, I mean, just subjectively, I feel like the people that I have been, for example, playing music with in Otter Rock are all exceedingly careful, are isolating beyond, above and beyond what many people are. And so, I mean, I know myself, I really kind of, I go to the store one time a week, a very small store. I wouldn't even go to Fred Meyer, you know, I don't. So I feel like that's kind of the consensus that we're pretty careful. I personally, I'm not sure I would want to be in the community center with nine other people. In my mind, I'm thinking more like three or four people, but again, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say that. I mean, there could be restrictions on that. It could be less than 10. As far as I'm concerned, however, you know, that's not entirely up to me, but my proposal is that if several local people who are known to be, you know, responsible in that way, that it does seem like it could be done in a way that was reasonably safe for the community, because that is very important to keep. We want to keep our community safe. We want to keep the people working in the community center safe, you know.
Now that does bring up one aspect, which is there are parts of that public space that are used by our part-time employees, namely the kitchen and the restroom. And, you know, there's going to have to be some careful cleaning between uses. In order to keep our employees safe. We have an entirely different set of guidelines for workplace safety, and we can't ignore those.
Of course.
So public use of the facilities that are also used, because we only have the one bathroom that works. We only have the one, which would have to be a consideration in this. The other thing that comes to mind would be.
Go ahead, Dan.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Finish.
I also think that we might want to try to ensure that we don't have simultaneous use of district use.
I think that's pretty reasonable. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if for no other reason, it's pretty disruptive if you're trying to work and there's music in the, you know, right, a band going. I mean, if for no other reason, that in itself. Well, I mean, I don't know.
People.
And again, I don't anticipate 10 people, but once it happened, I would not be full, I would not be in charge of that. So.
Right. Well, I remember, Grace, you mentioned in your thing about having time between groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something we would consider.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. I will say that because I have a nightly rental in my home, that it's not act like people don't come in through, like they have their own door, et cetera, but I've had to jump through the hoops set out by the county to keep the community safe and to keep myself safe, to keep the guests safe. And so, I mean, at first I was pretty jumpy about the whole process, but once I sort of saw how it could be pretty smooth and it could be right. safe sort of for everyone, at least within reason, you know, it's an invisible thing. And, you know, for example, anyone that has a child that goes anywhere is kind of a wild card, because some of us really aren't going anywhere and are not exposing ourselves to people. But with, like, for example, if you I know one of the workers has a little kid, you know, I mean, I almost feel like I'd be concerned for the people coming in playing music. You know, things have to be, I mean, we all just need to keep each other safe and make sure. I don't know what your protocol is for the kitchen. I don't actually think we need to use the kitchen. I mean, other than maybe to go in and open the window, we may just say we're going to restrict ourselves to going into the bathroom to wash our hands and for whatever protocols that we follow. It would be the fewer sort of surfaces that we impact, the better, you know.
Well, my opinion is, I'm kind of like Dan, I wouldn't even consider it, especially with a vocal group, since that has been shown to be fairly risky. But my personal feelings aside, my biggest concern is, well, and then past the community and their health, is the liability for the water district. And I would think if we were to do this, we would have a waiver form, and we would have very strict protocol that we could easily take from the guidelines. But I would say that we would want very strict protocol that the users would agree to follow. The one thing I did notice on this template is section on insurance, that the user agreed to carry, maintain, and provide proof of general liability insurance.
Not less than $1 million of liability coverage.
Right.
That I think is, because it's an addendum to a business contract.
Right.
The question is that something that we would require of district residents using the facility?
Right.
We've not required insurance on any users in the past that I'm aware of. We have had the restriction of no alcohol consumption on the premises, because it's apparently clear that that's a potential liability for us, even with community use. And I also think we're pretty much required to treat, not go case by case. If we decide to do this, we have to do this sort of class by class. So we can say it does need to be residents of the district who are legally the owners of the facility. But we can't say this group of musicians are okay, but this group of poetry readers are not, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think we're allowed to discriminate in that way.
But as long as the poetry readers are district.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
If you're consistent with your class and there's a rationale for that, in other words, it's not it's restricted to district residents and not restricted to only district residents of a particular gender, say, then I think we're legally safe in that regard. But I don't think we could say, yes, this group can use it, but this other group of residents cannot. If we allow residents to use it, we're allowing residents to use it.
What about an age group, though? What about, say, residents can use it, but only 18 and older, for example?
That's the highest risk group, so...
Pardon?
Maybe we should say 40 and over, because those 18 and over is a big group that's carrying it around right now. Yeah. They're the 18 to 40-year-olds are off the charts right now.
Mm.
I have a comment on that. You cannot... Because OSU is so inclusive, you cannot restrict. If we're going to have usage, you have to do it for everyone.
So
it's there's no. There's
I know
no
I have a bias area. With there's, little kids. I do. I feel like little kids are the germ spreaders. So
well, they are. But we can't. We can't have that. We can't. If we're going to open it
are
up,
are you sure?
I'm positive. Right. I have been through many classes. Many classes.
Age discrimination.
We cannot do that. We will get sued big time. Okay. If you open it up, you open it up to everyone. You have to have the same rules for everyone. Sure. It doesn't matter.
That means somebody could decide to hold classroom activities for kiddos. It's a big issue. Dan,
if we open it up, we have to open it up.
I think it would be perhaps enlightening for the people who would like to be able to do this group or any other one to see the guidelines from SDAO about cleaning and
Yes. All
of that. It's daunting.
It is daunting.
And then to take a look at the basic liability release that would have to become part of this also. Mm-hmm. And they may decide that it can't work.
Are we, do you think the board is going to require $1 million of liability insurance?
I don't believe that this is up to us to decide that. That's part, if we're gonna take the advice of our liability insurance people, then we need to take their advice. If you think we would eliminate that whole clause?
I don't think that we would eliminate the part that says the district does not have any insurance to for coverage for infectious diseases. The question is, are we, if we require liability insurance for use, the question I have is would we be have any standing for, I'm not sure what the exact term is, could we legally require liability insurance for one particular situation, which is the pandemic, and not be requiring it for other uses of the center?
Isn't this release that you forwarded specifically for use during COVID?
This,
I think it is.
It is. However, it is also, if you look at it, it is the template is designed as an addendum to a paid contract for use of a facility. And so far we've not been requiring payment
by residents to
use the facility, right?
Right, we don't require payment, but that doesn't mean we couldn't require insurance or shouldn't require insurance in this case.
The other thing that the SDAO risk assessment guy said was that whatever we did in the way of an agreement or waiver, it would need to pass muster from our own, he said local, but it's a law firm that we've have an agreement with. in Eugene.
Oh my.
Yes, that they would, he advised that they review whatever we come up with and sign off on it before we would implement it.
I would also want to see a clause in any agreement during COVID that if the community spread for Lincoln County should reverse itself and would end up back in phase one, that the agreement might be terminated at that time.
That seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we would probably have to, but I think we should have that in there anyway.
Yeah, that would be easy if, you know, as long as we're in phase two or better, that this is viable. We go to phase one. And,
you know. So, you know, I'm just curious. So, at this point, every time one of you uses the kitchen, do you follow the whole, you wipe, you wash? Are you following that daunting protocol anytime any of the people that are in there now are using it?
I'm not using the kitchen. I don't know if anybody else is for sure.
But, I mean, that's not the question. Clearly people are using it, and are they required to follow these protocols? And if they're not, I don't understand why.
Yeah, our employees and staff are asked to clean all the surfaces before they use anything. I don't have our thing here, but we do have a, yes, we do have.
So it would be the same protocol. It would be the same protocol.
Well, this is different for a group than for one employee or two employees.
Right. Right. I guess because you would have to assume it's going to be 10, but it's probably going to be 3 more likely, or maybe 4.
There are state guidelines for workplace safety. That applies to our employees' use of the building. And then there are these other state guidelines which apply to, in this case, social get-togethers. And social get-togethers, you may notice if you look at the have less strict guidelines than the gatherings do, which are larger groups.
Okay. That, so, yeah, that's what I sort of thought we were going under that sort of umbrella.
Well, there are actually two groups under that same set of guidelines. And what Helen at the County Health Department said was that she thought in this situation, as long as the group was not larger than 10, that the most appropriate guideline that she would recommend following would be the one for social get-together, which you'll notice is a lot less restrictive than the one for gatherings.
Well, it is, except for the size, but yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a restriction on the size. And are social get-togethers still of under 10 people? Help me out here. Were those allowed during phase one?
I think it says regardless of the phase, so perhaps they were.
Okay.
I think we were just choosing not to participate in those because most of us are being extra careful. Yep. And so, I mean, I personally have not been participating in going indoors with 10 or less people unless I was going to the grocery store and zipping in and out, so.
And if you read the guidelines, they also say, consider not doing this.
Right.
It's risky.
Right.
I mean, it's right there.
Yes.
The real shame to have that room empty and unused. The board would like to be able to use it for meetings too, but we just can't.
Well, I don't know that we can't, but we could choose not to.
Right, yeah. We're all in a, at least most of us are in the age group where that's one box already checked just for that. So,
right. Well, and in my case, I may not be in that age group, but everyone I socialize with is. And so I treat it as if I am, because I'm not going to be the person that,
right. You know,
I bet I go less play. I'm pretty careful. I'm pretty careful. I don't really go very many places. So. But yes, I don't hang out with anybody that goes. So,
I have a question. Dan, did our insurance person indicate that we needed to have a group have their own liability insurance?
No, he did not.
And do we, would our liability insurance cover anything? Do we have liability that we cover a group?
As it says in the agreement, apparently pretty much nobody has liability insurance for infectious disease.
Okay. So then how would someone get it if they didn't just use their general liability insurance? Because that's what they say.
I know. Again, this is a one-size-fits-all template.
Right, but do we have general liability insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
We do.
Okay. Is it $1 million?
Oh, I don't remember off the top what the limits are.
Okay, I have no clue. I was curious. Any thoughts on moving forward on this?
Well, I'm of course still interested in continuing to look at it. I haven't had a chance to go over all the things that Dan handed me, and it sounds like it really depends on what sort of a gathering you're considering this to be, how strict it is.
Well, I think the guidelines are the same no matter what. I mean, it's wear masks, keep 6 feet apart, you know, someone has to be in charge to monitor, mm-hmm. you know, and be responsible for the group. And
yeah, I don't think there's a problem with any of those.
I guess it's just a question of whether the board wants to drop some type of guidelines or protocol, not really guidelines, but protocol that we would ask people to take on and some type of waiver. Hmm. And do we want to involve our getting it reviewed by our legal people?
Sounds like we don't have an option on that.
Well, yeah. But then that is, you know.
Money we don't have.
Well, money we need to spend on other things. I don't know what the cost would be.
And although we did set some aside in the budget for legal expenses, I don't remember the amount. 5,000, something like that?
I think it's 2.
2,000, okay. I knew it wasn't more than 5. On the other hand, my question is, do we have the authority to ignore this request or just flat say no, given that the state and the county have said that these are allowable within the guidelines?
Oh, did we not ask SDAO that question?
The impression I got from SDAO is everybody gets to decide how they're going to reopened now that the state says that reopening happens in your county. So it wasn't some matter. The impression I got talking with him was not that it's a matter of if, it's a matter of how.
Yeah, well, we're still not allowed in OSU at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, totally, completely, we can't go into work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally up to us. If we say no, we're not going to allow people, then it's a straight no. And we have that right to say no.
Do.
And we have the right to say yes. But if we say yes, then we have to do all these things.
Are we certain that we can just say, this is too hard, this is too risky, and say no? Not at all.
Well, we have already actually done that. That's been the policy for a number of months now.
That was prior to stage two, though. The county is in a different stage. Things are opening up. Things are if it were to go back to stage one, I didn't ask this while we were still in phase one. I asked it when, as soon as we went into phase two, things are opening up more. I don't know. Maybe you aren't going anywhere, but things are opening up more than I'm comfortable with in some cases.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not going very many places either, but I'm aware that lots of people are going lots of places. I'm not saying lots of people should be coming here, but I'm just saying it's happening, you know.
So for me, it's a question of the authority. And for me, the real question is, and I can re-ask this question of the folks at SDAO, to make sure that I understood it correctly, but the question is, at what point do we overstep our authority? As a public entity, by saying we are not going to reopen our community center, despite the state saying that this is allowed, and having gotten advice from the county health department as to which guidelines would apply, do we actually have the authority to keep it closed? I don't know that I know the absolute answer to that question.
And I will say, I would not have asked if I wasn't absolutely convinced that it could be done in a way that was safe. Relatively as safe as having a person come around that has a child, that there's a person that comes in there. I mean, I think as adults that we can be pretty safe. We can have a certain amount of hours between, we can follow protocols. We can, you know, it's known people. We can trust one another. I feel that it could be done, but if people don't believe that it can be done, then that, you know, that's where we'd be at. I wouldn't have asked if I didn't think, you know, and I've given a lot of thought. I've had to jump through a lot of hoops and look at a lot of different things about safety and keeping things safe.
Okay, well, doesn't sound like anyone wants to just jump right in there. Dan, can you bug them some more and ask some more questions, like what are we obligated to open regardless, and see what they say, and ask maybe what our liability coverage is?
Well, yeah, we can certainly look at our policy and see what our coverage is, but to be sure that we don't actually have any protection for infectious disease, that would be a step. We can ask SDAO again, but more pointedly, does a special district have the authority to be more restrictive than the state or county. And it's, you know, if this was a private business, you certainly could say, oh, I'm just not going to open this up. It's my business. But I'm not sure that we're in the same situation being a public entity.
Right. Does anybody know, are there other like state or municipal facilities that aren't opening up? I mean, yes. Lisa, you mentioned OSU. Oh,
not opened up.
I don't think any.
And in fact, they are in daily conversations about backing everything up, and they are still not allowing students. 90% of the, it's still, I think we got a figure today, it was still 90% online, only 10% in. The University of Oregon is thinking about backtracking because of all the cases that they've had. So we're not expected to go into at least until January, maybe even longer.
So Lisa, are there no people going into the buildings at all? So, I mean, really you're comparing apples and oranges. I'm not saying, this is not a place where like people from all over are coming, you know, all over, all different age groups, all different. This is a place where known community members, just a handful of community members are coming into a space for a couple of hours.
I get that, but.
Not the
you
same.
Guys want to
and there must be people going in there. I bet there are people going in to work.
No, we are. We no are not
bodies. All
right, Grace. Not but, in my building. All right. Not in my building. Okay. They have locked it up.
Newport Center has limited opening, don't they?
Pardon,
Dan. If we get an answer, a firm answer either way, and we are entitled to make that decision ourselves for sure, then I would be willing to sit down and go through the guidelines that you have just received, plus all the thousands of pages I've had in the past from to protect our employees, and come up with a proposal for that. But then the board would need to decide if we are willing to spend and how much we would be willing to spend on a legal review.
And can we find out how much it would be for a legal review before we even too much further?
You know how lawyers like to tell you how much they're going to charge you ahead of time.
some of them have some, you know, set rates to review a one page, you know, waiver form. They might be able to say, give us at least a ballpark.
We could ask. I would be willing to do some, spend some time in that direction.
Okay. That would be great.
I appreciate the consideration. Buck, did you have any thoughts?
One thought. And whatever the decision is, it's for all groups that may want to use it. Is that correct?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it would have to be. And that's one thing I wanted to mention, comment on, Grace. You said for your group, it's known people who are careful. But if we open it up to the community, we don't always, you know, we don't have that knowledge, maybe, that
you are currently having people. Public meetings there now, aren't you?
No.
But you you have employees that come in. So you do have employees. Yep. So it's not like Lisa, it's not like OSU. There, you are allowing people, bodies to come into the building.
But right? Restricted, not
right.
Unknown group, you know, and
yeah.
We're responsible for our employees, and we're the employees that are.
Why aren't the employees staying at home though and doing it from home if it's so restrictive?
We aren't doing that, Buck.
Yes, to my knowledge, there are public meetings there with the sewer board, correct?
That is right. We
Oh.
They should.
I do not know that.
They were asked
not to come in.
Well.
Are they coming in?
No,
they did ask to come in.
They did ask, and we did allow it because.
Oh, really?
Because they are an official governmental body that has contributed to the maintenance of the building. This is not a social gathering. This is a once a month official public meeting.
Okay.
And they have no other place to do it. And their board does not actually, is not able to meet online.
So, do they have calls in line in place for them?
Yes.
Protocol? Yes.
Yes, they open the doors, they clean up. The other, and be.
So why don't we just follow their protocols?
Because it's different than an official meeting with a small group.
Not for COVID, it's not.
Yes, it's very different.
It is very different, Grace.
For COVID?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure. I'm confused on that.
So, and, you know, in full transparency, the board has used the room once, mass and distance, with two people from the health department. But again, that's official governmental use with the with the county health department.
All right.
So that's a different kind of use, and
I see what you're saying. But as far as like COVID, and as far as as far as legality of using the room for, because they're official, but as far as like COVID and people bringing the disease into the building, I don't see how that's different, but I'm just.
No, I hear what you're saying, but if we do this.
But if you're having them swab everything down and do all that stuff, then I mean.
Yeah, we wiped down, okay. Believe me. But as Buck pointed out, I think it bears repeating one more time. If we open this up to use by one group of community residents, we open it up to use by any other group of community residents who meet the criteria for this level of use, these guidelines.
Optimum word community, correct?
I don't think there's an issue with us saying that it has to be, residents of the community.
That's precedence has been set for that already, but
yes, for years.
Okay, my battery's gone here, so I wanted to thank you.
Thanks,
Buck.
All right. Okay, well,
Dan, if you're going to ask some more questions, let's address the question also of the younger age group. If we decided to open this up, I could envision that some community members with children might want to have their children attend a socially distanced class in our building. Let's ask that question.
Okay, I'm going to note these down right now.
Dan, thank you so much for going through all this stuff. And I do appreciate the board considering this. I know it's a big question.
Everything seems to be with COVID.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's only going to get harder now that winter is upon us.
Right. Okay, so wrap this up, Pat. You're going to see what legal costs might take to have a review of a waiver form, and Dan's going to ask some more questions of our insurance people through SDAO, correct?
Yes. So The questions that I have right now are, does the district have the authority to refuse permitted state or county permitted use? That's one question. Can we limit it to residents? And can we have age limits? Any other questions, specific questions that you want me to ask?
And then we were going to look into what our liability insurance was.
Right. I've got that on my list.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
You've got the liability coverage and then the finding out what it might cost us to.
And I have a question. Will our liability insurance cover you the use during this time? I mean, just because we have it doesn't mean it's going to cover it. And I'm not negative, and I don't have an opinion either way of community use. I just want us to be smart about it.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Well, I think that would definitely be part of looking at our liability coverage to see if, I mean, the liability that we're concerned about right here is not someone falling down and hitting their head going through the door. It is the liability of someone contracting COVID-19 from their the fellow members of.
Oh, I don't know how you can prove that, frankly. I don't know how you can prove to that point where.
You can always prove it, but you know what? If all of a sudden, within a short period of time, three of the six members, you know, when they do contact tracing, they're going to say, yeah, that's.
Well, that only works if those people have only been together in that room. If those people were together in other rooms, I don't see how you can, how can you do that? That seems unscientific. I'm not a scientist, but I don't know how you could do that.
I am not a scientist either, but I do have some experience with epidemiology. And in
you
fact,
are more sciencey than I am in that area, definitely.
You do, probabilities do occur. And so if
this is the
only place where those three people came together.
It won't be in this case, but.
Yeah, but anyway.
It'd be one of them. We need to move on. We've got a few other.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm sorry we couldn't give you a direct answer tonight.
It's not a simple question. I understand.
Every time we look into this whole stuff, it just gets more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my eyes start glazing over on some of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I appreciate all your time.
Okay.
We're not going to ignore this. We are going to pursue it.
Okay, on to the next topic is the Second Street easement infrastructure. What are we doing there?
We're on number three, Beth.
Huh?
I think we skipped number three.
Oh, that's right, because I'd already printed it. Number three, work session to redefine customer account classification.
I know Pat and I would like to schedule this.
I would like to schedule it because it's a topic in itself that I think will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all probably have some opinions on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else we need to talk about, or do we just need to schedule it?
Well,
does anybody else have anything to comment on? Okay, let's schedule it.
All right.
Let me pull up my calendar. Tuesdays is good for everyone, right?
About the 27th.
27th, I can do.
Let me confirm.
That's 2 weeks from tonight.
Can we do it on after the 31st, guys? just because my mom's visiting and I want to spend time with her.
So you're saying that's not a good week for you?
I'm saying I would, if I we can, I would like to move it past the 31st. If we can't, then the 27th works.
Well, what about before then?
Well, she's here for the whole month. And she's in my house, so.
Okay, well,
well.
But if we can't, that's fine. I understand, you know, this comes first, but, you know, I just, I'm putting it out there.
To work on this sooner than later, personally, because we've already delayed it.
Well,
we delayed it by
I'd be in favor of trying to accommodate as much participation as we can muster.
That would be Tuesday the 3rd.
The 3rd.
Which would be 1 week before the board meeting on the 10th.
Well, I can do that.
Can do it.
If it's not okay, I understand.
On the 3rd?
There is one thing I want to point out, though.
No, not on the 3rd.
Yeah, there's one. There's one
thing. It's election day after.
And what we really should do it before then.
Hey, Barnett. Another one in there. That one may not be frozen. You know.
It'd be cold.
So, anybody have any other options?
I can do it on the 27th, but I might have to leave early, guys.
Okay.
So, if I bug out because, you know, we're in it 3 hours, then I bug out.
Right.
Oh, okay.
If we're in 3 hours, we're all bugged out.
I'm just saying, guys, I'm not doing a three-hour tour.
Let's put a time limit.
Yeah.
Time certain.
We can an hour and a half max.
Sure. I think if we do our homework and provide information ahead of time, that's reasonable. Get a chance to think about some of the issues before we sit down.
Okay, let's schedule it for the 27th, October 27th at 6 o'clock.
All right.
Okay, that's item number 3. Now, we go to item number 4, Second Street Easement Infrastructure. Whose item was it?
I put it on because Buzz had a suggestion. I guess I have to say my own personal opinion is that with that whole easement furor, it seems like the board's real interest is making sure that our infrastructure is not damaged. But I'm not sure we have any other dog in that fight.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, please let me know if you all disagree. Buzz had a suggestion for a way to basically reroute the pipes a bit so that, in fact, if traffic does wind up using that right-of-way on a regular basis, that it would remove the risk for the...
But we can't remove all of it. Don't we have pipes that go across that no matter what?
Well, we have what we have is we have a distribution line that goes down the south side of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is at the edge of the right of way. Our easement there is at the edge of the right of way, so it's not an area people are going to be driving over. But what we do have at potential risk is 2 3/4-inch service lines that go north to serve the 2 residences that are on the north side of that
right.
The Second Street strip. And that's that's basically the infrastructure we have at risk. The meters are already in on the far side of the street. It's just the three-quarter inch lines, as I understand it, the three-quarter inch lines that connect the distribution line on the south side of the right-of-way to the meters that are on the north edge. It would be, if damage occurred from traffic, it would be from driving over those 2 3-quarter inch lines, underground lines. Right now, there's no heavy traffic over them. There's just, you know, single.
It's just occasional, right?
They're just occasional traffic. There's not regular traffic by large vehicles. And Buzz, what you suggested was to have a line that serves those two, if I understand it correctly, a line that serves those two customers that travels along that right of way on the north side, so that there's nothing going underneath the street to connect those customers. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, that's what I said at first, and then we had another conversation.
Okay.
And I realized you were just talking about those two service lines.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be easy enough to, they're probably not very deep, to just trench, dig them up, expose them, and put them through a sleeve, like a really heavy duty plastic schedule-80 PVC pipe sleeve.
Even better. And
that would protect them. I have my doubts about whether or not they would be damaged at all.
Okay.
But the point, I guess the overall point that I was making to Dan was that we're being drawn into this second state issue. And I don't really believe it's a serious problem. But even if it was, you could probably add about a tenth of a percent or a hundredth of a percent of the cost to the cost of what we're going to be doing up at the tank. Just call that another distribution system element. Wouldn't cost very much. And do something to protect those two service lines. They're going to replace that line anyway at some point, but if it was really, point is, it would be pretty cheap, relatively speaking, to take those two lines out of play, damage-wise, so that we wouldn't keep getting drawn into this argument and then let the people that live there sort it out themselves. We've got more important fish to fry.
Isn't the lawsuit supposed to have taken place already this month, or is about to? Maybe once that decision comes down, then we'll know what type of traffic will be going over that right of way,
right,
or not.
Yeah,
I would agree. It'll just depend on. It's going on now. It may be a while for the decision yet, but
what I gathered from what Buzz told me was that either way, we can protect the district's interests without having to be otherwise involved in the.
Right. We don't need to be involved in my opinion, as far as anything that they're doing. We need to know what the outcome is, so that we know if we need to protect our service lines there.
Buzz, how would you reroute the lines that are running under Second Street?
I wouldn't.
And protect them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your proposal is only to dig them up, protect them, but leave them where they are?
Yeah, and
the only rerouting.
No, The only reason, there's another way to do it. You can, you know, they have little machines that are not very big, and people that specialize in replacing service lines without digging them up, they can go maybe 50 or 100 feet, just horizontal direct drilling.
Oh, boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and okay.
You put a spouter. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
I just want to let you know I'm letting two people that I see pop up in the waiting room, Cheryl and Steve Hall, and a phone number that I don't recognize, but it might be the Hall's phone number. I just saw that they're in the waiting room, so they're coming in now.
There, you can do it. You know, even if that street got paved, actually, that's what we're going to do. Proposing if we ever get around to repairing the water system, so that we won't have excavations crisscrossing First and Third and C Street and Otter Crest, is we're going to have all those new service lines that have to cross put in with these little miniature horizontal direct drilling machines. And they're set up for just doing little bitty service lines. And it's cost effective in certain circumstances. And
so this could be theoretically included in the infrastructure project, perhaps?
Yeah. Yeah, just do it. Put it in the infrastructure project. I don't know. Yes. Short answer is yes.
Okay.
You want to make sure that's something to watch.
Yes, I'd like to suggest that we wait to see if we actually need to be worried about this right now.
Right. Yeah.
That. Halls, are you hearing us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good, good. Sorry, I don't know how long you're in the waiting room. I was paying attention to the discussion, and then I saw you pop up out of the corner of my eye.
That's okay. We were having some computer trouble here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So can you fill me in on the discussion? I got in, I guess, on the tail end of that.
I would say we were just discussing some possible solutions to protecting the water district's infrastructure there, and that we could do it in a fairly simple way, but that we don't need to do anything right now. We need to know the outcome in court, whether we even need to do it.
Well, the issue is right now what the lawyers are looking at is they want to know from you what you know right now. As it stands right at this moment, what if you guys don't know anything more than what the map showed, then that's what my lawyer is going to use in the court case. If you have some other additional information, then we would need to know that so I can present that to him so he can present that to the judge.
I don't know of any other additional information. Buzz or Dan, Pat, Lisa, does anybody know? We haven't done any investigation. No.
So the map that I provided to you guys, which was provided to us by Jim, is the last standing information that everybody has. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, can I get you guys, as I talked to Pat a little bit about this, can I get you guys to write something up to that effect, stating that that's the latest information that you have?
Well,
yeah. Stating that we have no further information?
Right, exactly. Yeah, all the attorney wants to know is the latest information that you guys have about the water lines. And so I told him the only information that we had and that Jim told us he had was that map that he gave us. So if that's all you have, if there's been nothing that has come forward since then all we need is a statement from you or something in the meeting minutes would work too. But we've got to have them by the first part of next month. That's when we're going to court. So if you have that information, if you could just provide a statement stating that's all you have, that's fine. That's all we're asking for.
Well, so an email to that effect, would that suffice?
Yes. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay.
Can do that.
We can do that.
Okay,
who would like to do that?
I can do that right now.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, that'd be great, Dan, if you could do that. That'd be much appreciative.
I was going to say that the information provided by our former superintendent, Jim Osborne, is the most up-to-date information that we have.
Yeah, and if you could reference the map, because that's what the courts are going to go off of, is that map that I provided to you guys that Jim provided to us.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. And then what is the future? So you guys are going to wait to hear on the lawsuit before you determine any other future endeavors on this, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So, fair enough.
So, Cheryl, are you guys receiving the district news emails, notifications?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay, so that tells me I have your proper email address.
You do, yeah.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Okay, so now we know that this can be put off at least for another month.
As far as any action on our part, yes.
Right.
Yes, except for a statement that Dan will send.
Okay.
And that's all we know. Okay. Ready to go on to number 5, water treatment order update. Who wants to take that? Buzz or Dan?
Our
meeting.
So we had the level 2 meeting, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And the county ladies that were there said that Jay McPherson, who is the engineering supervisor at the Springfield field office. He reviews drawings, proposals from various water districts for improvements. Might be willing to come to Otter Rock to meet with our engineer and have our engineer show him the system and hand him a written proposal of what we're prepared to do to upgrade the system, but also explain it to him. I followed up and wrote Jonathan an email and asked him if he'd be willing to prepare a package with some sketches, schematics, to make that presentation. He said he would. And then few days later, I sent a copy of that email to Helen Larish, and they in turn sent an email to Jay McPherson, asking if he'd be willing to do that. And he said, due to COVID, he said he didn't normally, under most circumstances, go out in the field to review drawings unless there was a really good reason. And especially now with COVID, he wasn't doing it. And he suggested that the district have Jonathan prepare a package consisting, I guess, of some sketches of what we propose to do and the schedule of costs that Jonathan has already prepared, and maybe a typewritten sheet with a few paragraphs on it, and mail it to Jay, and he'd review it. So I called Jonathan and left a message this morning, asking him if he would do that rather than as an option of meeting with Jay at the tank farm, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet. That's about the end of it right there.
So what I gathered from our level two meeting was that there is apparently not going to be a reprieve from the requirement for water treatment. Did everyone else hear that same thing?
Yes. Oh, Beth has stepped away, but we were all there. Four of us were there, and they said unequivocally there was no out.
Okay.
I'm here.
So what we're going to ask Jonathan for at this point is the preliminary design concept or parameters or whatever you call it for putting in the treatment?
Yeah, when he calls me back, I'll tell him verbally what I already asked him in the email,
mm-hmm.
just to put together a package mm-hmm. with a copy for us and mail it to Jay for his review, Jay McPherson.
And then will Mr. McPherson be in a position to let us know the state's position on the timing of
construction
and initiating treatment?
He's kind of the technical arm for that woman, I forget her name, Beatrice something, that wrote us the original letter saying we had to chlorinate.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to extend, if they want to go along with our request to extend the schedule so we can come up with something that is more compatible with our master plan to improve the tank farm, I think he would tell her and then we'd hear from her. I don't know how their hierarchy works, maybe not. We'd hear from one or the other, both of them.
Okay.
Okay. Anything more? Any other questions?
I just at some point we have to proactively. Number one, decide what we want to do. And number two, raise the rates to accomplish it. I don't know if I've been seeing some emails from Dan regarding bond funding, but I think that's still a non-starter, right, Dan?
Unless we can get the cost of the project below the bond limit, then I think it is a non-starter. Does anyone disagree with that?
Well, I thought it was a non-starter just because it was going to take so long. Next election is several months past the due date on when we have to have chlorination in place. And I've been sitting here listening to us talk about the recreation center for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's important stuff, but it pales by comparison. I'm repeating myself here about us making a decision that they're not gonna, I don't think the state is gonna cut us any slack until we combine our request for an extension of time with a resolution to fund the improvements we're talking about. That ain't gonna happen. In the last meeting I attended, I missed the last monthly meeting, there was some limited discussion about reaching out to the users. And I think I suggested, well, let's get a list of users and divide them up five ways, and each of us will go on out and reach out to them and tell them what we're gonna do, explain to them. But then after that, we've got to do something, folks. We can't tap dance around it forever.
Right, and when are we gonna get that? We got a kind of rough estimate, but there was a, there was an error in the spreadsheet. Did we get a clarification on that?
Which estimate? The one that Dan wrote a letter and then Jonathan got back with, what was it, $1.4 million, something like that?
He sent back a revised thing that included the chlorination treatment facility.
And also several elements in the distribution system.
Yes, right. Yes.
That one was dated September 17, I believe.
I can't find it back so far.
Yeah, almost a month ago.
It was actually $1,489,000, so 1.5. And I agree. We need to
get a
fish or cut bait.
Yeah.
So, Dan, is that something you and I could put that spreadsheet that you found, the old spreadsheet with the proposals side by side?
Yes.
Is that something that you would like help updating and getting that ready?
Yes, if we could do that in the next couple of days, that'd be great.
Okay.
What's that going to accomplish?
Exactly.
Talking points. If we're talking about going to the community, we have to know what we're going to say.
But what? See, we're going around and around and around and around and around and around. And I agree with Buzz. But my problem with this is I think we should go for the whole enchilada and not piecemeal it out. And I've made that clear, but that's okay. Whatever the board wants. But we... If we're going to do this and the community knows we need to do this, then we need to just start finding out if we can actually get the funding.
So I guess I was looking at it a little bit differently. I thought we might go to the community with the pros and cons of, you know, here's what we get if we do the whole enchilada. The pros and cons of whole enchilada, reduced scoped. And what the board did a couple years ago is they also had the null option on there, which was a good way to describe the kind of hurt that we were in and what needed to be done. If I guess I thought we would get some feedback from the community as to whether when they compared what we get from the reduced scope to what we get from doing the whole thing, and what the actual cost in the course of a year would be of doing one or the other, that we might get some more useful feedback from the community to see if they would. You know, we sort of had our doubts whether they would be supportive of doing the entire thing that needs to be done, but I don't think we've really tested that, and that's what. Personally, I would like to try to do in the next couple of weeks is is test that assumption and see if people, when they really see it laid out, and now we do have numbers and scope to see whether people really say, no, no, there's no way I'm going to pay my water bill if you do the whole thing versus doing the reduced scope option. I'm happy to have those two options to look at, but I guess my feeling had not been that we would then just choose one without getting some more input from the community this month. I'm done.
Dan, that sounds like a great theory. And we've talked about this privately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've got about 100 days before January 23rd. And I'm sorry, I'm just gonna call it what it is. It's vacillating. It's a tough decision to make. And I would be okay with going out and talking to the community. I've started. But we don't have any more time. We don't have any more time. By the time we get we can get the package to McPherson and let him review it. And that's gonna take another month by the time he gets back to us. And then they're gonna say, well, you know, this sounds great, folks, but when are you gonna do that? I don't think we'll be talking to the community. I just seen how these boards work. You guys find every reason to talk about everything under the sun except fixing this water system because you're procrastinating because it's a tough decision. And if we are indeed going to go talk to the community, I've got spreadsheets. I have a notebook full of stuff. I'll Xerox a bunch of it for you guys and hand them out. But we need, you know, like right now in tonight's meeting, we should say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then schedule another meeting next week or in a few days and say, okay, here's the material and pass it out. And here's the list of names and let's assign it and let's do it and try to get it done in 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, if we're not already out of time, we're pretty darn close to it.
Okay, well, Dan, we lost Pat. Does anybody know why we lost Pat?
Her computer. I'm talking to her right now. Her computer died.
Her computer died. Okay. You and.
Do you want to try to come back in by phone?
You guys. Hi, Stan. I'll get you in a second. If the two of them come up with a spreadsheet showing the options side by side, I could work on a list of customers that are local. And are we talking about, we're talking about surveying people who are residents here or everybody? Because that would be problematic, of course, to get our...
It would be residents.
Okay, residents. I can come up with a list if we try to divide it somewhat area-wise because we're a little bit spread out. We could try doing that route. I'll commit to getting that done by the time you guys get your comparison spreadsheet done.
We'll see.
And we would get it done. Maybe just a second, this is Pat. How does that sound? Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Will that work? Okay. Okay. Pat's going to try to listen through my phone. We'll see if this works. So how's that sound, Buzz?
I'm thinking 50 names, Beth. Just people you see on your walk every day, people we know. I've talked to four, and I could, but I think there are people in this community, maybe 50 names.
50?
Yeah, people we know, like starting with the folks that are I'm looking at on this, Consuelo and Mike, Cheryl and Steve, Grace, like that. Buck, you know, Buck hasn't been privy to what's going on. Paul Erskine, Ben Osborne, you know.
Right, okay. Well, we'll divvy up a list and get it out to everyone. Maybe you could, yeah.
You know what? Each of us could just take 10 minutes and write down 10 names, or even maybe 20 names, and there'd be some duplication there, but at least it would be a start rather than just one person's sitting down and trying to remember everybody they know.
Well, no, I'd be looking at our customer list, so.
At what?
Our customer list. We can pull out a customer list.
Yeah. Well, do you agree that we need to talk to everybody, or would set a goal maybe of 50 names? Again, it's a time factor.
50 is a good-sized chunk of the
business.
I didn't hear that, Dan.
Have you tried calling in with your phone to the meeting?
50 sounds good. Is that what you said?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I've got an iPad coming in. I think it's Pat.
Yeah, she said she was trying her iPad. There's Pat. Bye, I'm going to hang up. We see you.
Can't hear you.
It takes a little while, usually, for the audio to come in.
Oops, I hung up over there and I can't hear. My old phone hardly works anyway. We're not hearing Pat. Oh, now she's connecting to audio. But she's muted. Okay, I was trying to talk to Pat and listen to you, but did anybody come to a conclusion on what we can do to divvy up names? Buzz, I heard you say that you suggested everybody just write down names and then send them to everybody so that we don't duplicate.
Well, write down names of people that you know well, from the people you know well to the people you know casually, whom you wouldn't mind saying, "Hey, can I sit down and visit with you for a while?" Rather than being like, some religious guy knocking on the door and wanting to talk about it, not being a stranger, and like that, and then we can collate them and figure out the duplicates and start that way.
Okay, does that sound okay to everybody else?
I don't mean to be a buzzkill, but you know, I work, and then, you know, so I don't have a lot of spare time to go out. I will do it.
Or
but,
weekends,
know.
Right? You have a weekend?
I all my week, well, until my mom leaves, all my weekends are already booked with activities in life. And, you know, and not that this is important, not that this is not important, but I'm just saying that, you know, I already have, my life is scheduled to the ninth degree.
Okay, anybody else have
an opinion? I can do it at work, you know.
Dan, what do you think? Yeah. Okay, Dan's in agreement. Let's try that. If someone else has something, let me know. Stan, you wanted to say something? You were waving
at me. I just had a question on that. It sounded like our water was good the last time we tested.
Yes.
But that means we still have to chlorinate even though it was good?
Most likely, yeah.
Well,
almost. Why is that?
Because
they said.
Okay.
Because we've had it, we've had now a history of coliform reports, and you know, this dance has been going on for the last few years, and finally they've called the dance.
You know, I guess they have, but I think what Buzz said is quite true. He said governments procrastinate, and I don't see any reason why they won't continue to procrastinate. I'd really like to see what happens after the election. I'm sorry, folks. I think there's going to be money out there. And if we push this through, we're pushing it through at our own expense.
Well, the election's real close here, so.
It is, yeah. I think by, you know, January is a good time to know. January 23rd is when they want to know. I say tell them we want to know what money's coming down. That's what I would say to the state. We need money.
No, they want it in place by then, Stan.
I know. We want to tell them. I understand that. We want to tell them. If we want to procrastinate, if we want to extend it, we tell them we need money to do it. Let's see what's happening. It doesn't have to be done on the 23rd. It doesn't have to be done then. That's when they want it done. But I'm sure they would probably say, okay, let's find out. But we want it done. That's basically what they're going to say to us. I disagree that they would not. You know, you're saying, oh, they're not gonna do anything. That's not true. They will. They procrastinate just like every other government agency does.
Stan, we're going to be asking them for an extension on that.
Yes, we are.
Okay, and the way I would say that is we need money. It costs money. We're a poor district. We're a small district.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's my two cents. And when you talk to me, if you talk to me, I noticed you didn't bring my name up, but that's what I would say if somebody wants to talk to me, so you can put it down on record and don't bother talking to me if you don't want to.
You're not going to get off that easy, Stan.
No, we're going to come.
And are you going to have a dollar figure to give to the neighbors when you talk to them?
Yes.
How much our water bill will be going up?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I think bottom line, I don't care what you say to them, that's what they're going to want to know.
Right. That's right. And that's why we have hesitated to this point, because we did not have any ballpark numbers to give to anybody.
Right.
Well, we had the big ballpark, but we didn't have a smaller one.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Let's move on. What's next? Resolution, registered agent. I sent something out to everybody, right?
Right.
Yep.
Unregistered agent. We're supposed to have that, a registered agent. And I think Dan sent out my very rough draft.
Looked good to me.
I move that we go ahead and appoint Beth as our registered agent and do the documentation.
I second that.
Okay, that's a quick one. Any other discussion? You sure you want?
I'm sorry, what are we asking Beth to do? I missed that.
We need to designate one person representative for the water district to be our designated agent with the Secretary of State office. And actually it goes to the archives office, but it's for the basic records.
It is their belief that Buck is our registrar.
Right, because that's what it was on our compilation report, that it has never been changed. Oh, and that person has the authority to receive legal documents.
Okay, I get it.
You have to assign one person. And so since no one has been assigned since Buck resigned, then I figure we need to assign a new person. It can be president, it can be the treasurer, it can be a secretary, or it could be your lawyer if you have a legal representative firm. And you can even, I found on the internet, pay a service to be your agent, but we probably don't want to do that because that's not something we really need that much, except for I know we need it for our information we send to the Secretary of State.
Certainly having one of us be an agent is the cheapest way to go.
What?
Certainly having one of us volunteer commissioners be the agent is the cheapest.
Yes. So we need a resolution to do that. It needs to be passed by the board, and it's a form that has to be notarized and then sent to the Secretary of State's office.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So there's a motion out on the floor to have me be the sacrifice Beth. So me be the registered agent. Any other questions about this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye. Pat? Aye.
Thank you, Buzz.
Aye.
Okay, I'll go along with the crowd. Aye, that's five ayes. Motion carries. I will get that done. I'm assuming probably Columbia Bank can do the notary service for us. Action item checklist review. Did everybody have the time to look at that? Do you want to do that some other time?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
Does anybody have any comments? Paul? Lisa Hall, Buzz, any additional comments? Pat? I have one comment that I think I just mentioned.
I do have one comment.
Okay.
Sorry, you guys, we don't know how much it's going to be the water rates if we do the reduced scope because we've never asked. We can guesstimate, but we don't know.
We can guesstimate, yes.
Yes, yeah. But that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. I wanted to mention is I was visiting last week outside on the deck with my lovely neighbors across the street, the Bradleys. And of course, every time I talk to them, Art asks, how's it going with the water board? And oh, by the way, I have a box of papers in my garage. You would like them. So I now, thank goodness for COVID, no one comes to my house. My floor is covered with notebooks. And I've actually found a few things like, oh, this is nice, an original signed resolution that Art was keeping. So I'm reviewing those and we'll pass those on when I get done so other people can look for anything they might want to glean from that. That's all I have. Dan, you have anything more?
No, thank you all for hanging in there.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. I think it's time to adjourn. I believe our next meeting will be the work session October 27th at 6:00. And we all have some work to do. And some talking to do to the community.
Time.
Okay. Is it okay if you guys, if I adjourn the meeting?
Yes.
Do you want a motion or just should we just do it? It's 8:20. I will officially adjourn.
Hey, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Recording.
Adjourned at 8:20.